Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Vav, and we are three lines from the top of daf Kuf Vav Amid Aleph Ki Asa Rav Dimi. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema, Veshloima Ben Chayaleya and Yisrael Ben Adi. So we're moving along in Perakal HaBasar, not discussing halachas related to Basar B'Chalav, but rather discussing halachas related to Netilas Yadayim. Specifically, the obligation one has to wash Mayim Harishonim before he breaks bread, and the obligation one has to wash Mayim Achronim after he breaks bread, before he recites Birchas Hamazon. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, when Rav Dimi famously came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said the following, Mayim Harishonim Hechilu Basar Chazir, that the fact that a person once didn't wash Mayim Harishonim caused him to eat Basar Chazir, Achroinim Oitziu Asa Isha Mibayim. And there was a person that once didn't wash Mayim Achroinim, and because of that, one thing led to another, he ended up divorcing his wife. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, when Ravin famously came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said that Rav Dimi's version of the events that he just stated were incorrect. In fact, Rishonim Hechilu Basar Nevela, Mayim HaRishonim didn't cause a person to eat Basar Chazir, rather it caused a person to eat Basar Nevela. Achroinim didn't cause a person to divorce his wife, but rather Hargu Es HaNefesh caused somebody to actually kill his wife. So what does this all mean? So apparently there were these two stories that happened, and there was some urban legend related to these stories. Took place in Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden and Bavel knew nothing about it until Rav Dimi showed up. When Rav Dimi came, he said over what these stories were. And then Ravin Kedarka Bakoidesh had a different version of exactly what it was. The first story was, there was a Chenvin in Yisrael. There was a Yid, he owned a diner. And he used to have, whether this was okay or not okay, Basar Shchuta and Basar Nevela inside his diner. Now, when he saw a Jew come in, he served him the Basar Shchuta. If a non-Jew came in, he served him the Basar Nevela. One day, a person comes in, he sits down, and he starts breaking bread. He didn't wash Netilas Yadayim. He didn't do the things that a Jew usually does. This Chenvini assumed that he's probably not Jewish. As a result, when he ordered the steak on the menu, he gave him the Basar Nevela. Had this person washed Mayim HaRishonim, he would not have eaten the Basar Nevela. Skiyas Rav Dimi said, Mayim HaRishonim Hechilu Basar Chazir. Ravin said, Hechilu Basar Nevela. And the machlokes was what exactly this Basar was. According to Rav Dimi, it was Chazir. According to Ravin, it was Nevela. The other story the Gemara actually tells in detail, it's Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara there says that Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, they once came to a pundik. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi had very valuable things with them, and they gave it to the balachsanya, the innkeeper, to watch. Either way, at some point, they got suspicious that maybe this person is not so okay. Maybe he's not an erlich person. Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi go over to the innkeeper, and they ask them for the pikadim back. They decided they're going to check out, and they're going to go somewhere else to stay. And he was Kaifer Akal, he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. They got very nervous. They came up with an idea. They saw that this person that owned the inn, he had lentils on his mustache. That's what the Gemara says. So they go over to the wife of the innkeeper and they tell her, I want you to know that your husband said that, you know, that pikadim that we gave him, he should return. Now she starts rolling her eyes. I mean, she knows about the pikadim, but she also knows that her husband has no intention on returning it. He plans on keeping it for himself. So she says, I don't believe you. He says, no, I'm going to prove it to you. Because he wanted us to make sure that you know we're telling the truth. He said, as a similar davar, he ate lentils for breakfast. Is that true, that he ate lentils for breakfast? So she said, yeah, he did eat lentils for breakfast. And she wondered to herself, how in the world could they have known? Oh, must be because he told them. And if that's true, the other thing is true. That's how they ended up getting that pikadim back. Now, the way that they were able to get the pikadim back was because this man had lentils on his mustache. The assumption is, had he washed Mayim Achronim, he wouldn't have had lentils on his mustache. Hence, this whole thing went into motion because of the fact that he didn't wash Mayim Achronim. Now, what was the rest of the story? The rest of the story, it was a machloikis, Rav Dimi and Ravin. Rav Dimi said that this man came home, he heard what happened, and he gave his wife a get. Ravin said, that's nothing. This man came home, and he killed his wife. Zoysay Meris, because of this lentil that was on the mustache, which came about as a result of the fact that he didn't wash Mayim Achronim, that's what resulted in all this happening. Bottom line is, Rav Dimi said, Mayim Arishonim Hechilu Basa Chazir, Achronim Heitziyu Esa Isha Mibayla. Ravin said, Mayim Arishonim Hechilu Basa Neveila, Achronim Hargo Esa Nefesh. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, believe it or not, there's a postscript to the story. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Simonich, a good way to remember what Rav Dimi said and what Ravin said, meaning if you're going to want a Chazir Chulin, and you're not going to have a Gemara in a Veinik, and you're going to want to remember, is Rav Dimi the one that said Chazir and Heitziyu Esa Isha Mibayla? Ravin is the one that said nevela hargos hanefesh. Maybe it's vice versa. Here's a good way to remember this. What you should remember is that asa ravdimi afka, asa ravin kapla. So what does this mean? So Rashi says that we know that Ravdimi and Ravin both were bnei bavel. They went to Eretz Yisrael and they came back with many halachas. But Ravdimi was the one who came first. Ravin was the one that came second. So make believe that Ravdimi's version of the story and Ravin's version of the story are the same version, specifically as it relates to the second story, the Gemara Masechtas Yuma. Assuming that both versions of the story are true, which story would have had to have happened first? Rav Dimi's story would have had to have happened first, because you can't kill your wife and then divorce her. You can divorce her and then kill her. I mean, you can't, but technically you could. So it's for that reason, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that if you want to remember who said what, specifically regarding the second story, who's the one that said, Mayim Achronim Etzios Isha Mibayla, who's the one that said, Mayim Achronim Hargo Es HaNefesh? Well, which one would have had to have happened first if they both happened? Obviously, Hoitzios Isha Mibayla. Who's the one that came back first? It was Rav Dimi. That's how you know. Asa Rav Dimi, Afke, he's the one that said get. Asa Ravin, Katlo, he's the one that said kill. Says the Gemara, a double postscript to the story. Rav Abba Masni, Chada Mehani, V'chada Mehani L'chumra. Rav Abba, the way he would say over the story is, he would go L'chumra. He was a machmer in these two stories. So he would say that I'm going to tell you what I believe happened. It's not Rav Dimi's version, it's not Ravin's version. But rather, as it relates to the question, as it relates to the question of Chazer versus Nevela, so over there, he went with the version of Chazer, which was the version of Rav Dimi. And the reason is because Baser Chazer is more chomer than Baser Nevela. As it relates to the question of, did the man kill his wife or did he divorce his wife? He would say that he killed his wife, because obviously killing his wife was more chomer than simply divorcing his wife. Now, the Achrenim talk a little bit about why is it that Basa Nevela would be more, Basa Chaz would be more chamer than Basa Nevela? They're both lav in the Torah. Chaz is a lav and Nevela is a lav. So what would make one more chamer than the other? Now you'll tell me, what do you mean? If somebody eats a chazer without shchit, you can't even do shchit on a chazer if you wanted to. So by definition, you'd be over to lavi. Be over the issa chaz, you'd be over the issa nevela. If somebody eats nevela, he's only being over the one issa nevela. The problem is, ein issa chal al issa. But what's the teretz? The teretz is we had a lot of ein issa chal al issa here in these latter dafin and masechta schulin. It's because even though chazal say ein issa chal al issa, but the gemara says ra'at chas, l'koivre ben rishon gemurim avad issa is chal al issa. Meaning, bedinei adam, we don't punish a person for two different averes, when the Isser is Chal al Isser. But in the Shemayim de Gechishboinis, the Koivrei Bein Rishon Gemurim, of course there's a concept of Isser Chal al Isser, which means that at the end of the day, Chazer all day, every day is going to be more Chamer than Nevela. Because it has the Isser Chazer, plus it has, by definition, the Isser Nevela, the Koivrei Bein Rishon Gemurim. That's why at the end of the day, one is more Chamer than the other. I saw that Deres, in his Sefer Megillah Simonim, Pirish that was written on all the Simonim on Shas, say he's matmiya v'yesh l'tmaya the may nafgemina im ipnezu oizu. He says this whole Gemara is tamua. Rav Dimi and Ravin, I mean, they ran out of things to argue about in Shas, that now they're arguing about which version of the story is the right version of the story. He said, but besides, Rav Abba is being machriya, and he's saying, oh, sofik in these maises you go l'chumra. So therefore, I'm machmer like Rav Dimi in may marishoinen. And a machmer like Ravin a mayim machronim. He says to him, it's mamish tomua. He doesn't understand pashib shat in what this whole arichos in this gemara is. Truth is, if you take a look at the marsha, The Marsha says, what was Rav Dimi coming to say? What was Ravan coming to say? He says the punchline of the Gemara is, there's a concept of Aveira Gerera Savera. Fascinating thing. Aveira Gerera Savera. So, Mayim HaRishonim is a mitzvah. If you don't wash Mayim HaRishonim, you're doing an Aveira. You should know Aveira Gerera Savera. By you not washing Mayim HaRishonim, you may end up eating Nevela. Could be even worse than that. You can end up eating Chazer. Mayim HaRishonim is Oichet. A mitzvah, which means if you don't wash Mayim Achroinim, that means this is something that can bring Lideya, something very chomer. Your marriage can fall apart. You can mamish kom Lidei Shvichas Dam. The punchline of this sugya is a very good answer. Says the Marsha Dover Niflo. He says, what's the chiv Mayim Arishoinim? This kaddish them. There's a chiv. We'll see a lot more about it in today's da. There's an obligation for a person to watch Mayim Arishoinim. What's the obligation of Mayim Achroinim? So we saw in yesterday's da. The Gemara says it's because of the Melach Sedoimus. Mayim Arishoinim is a mitzvah. Mayim Achroinim is sakana. Mayim HaRishonim falls into the category of Issa V'Heter, as opposed to Mayim HaRishonim falls into the more chomedic category of Sakana. Chamira Sakante Meisura. Zok the Marsha, that when the person was Mevato Mayim HaRishonim, he violated some sort of Issa V'Heter, Aver Gereres Aver, it led to even a bigger Aver. Which, by the way, this is a Chiddush in Aver Gereres Aver, that a little Aver can lead to a bigger Aver. He said, but when the person was Mevato Mayim HaRishonim, in Robin's version of the story, you know what that led to? Hargo HaSanefesh. Because he violated an inyan of sakana, and you know what it brought? It brought Lidei sakana gedolah. So he says, Aveir Gereres Aveiro, where it was Issa V'Heter, it led to Issa V'Heter, and when it was sakana, it led to sakana. And Zok the Marsha, that's the nekuda, that's the punchline of this Gemara. I mean, the Marsha is already making a whole shtickle Torah of could be halacha, but for sure, Agada, that's supposed to be taken out of the Gemara. Does this answer that Aderis is Kasha, Ich weiß nicht, but Al-Kapanim, there is more than just a story being told in this Gemara over here. Either way, we now return to our regular program, which is not Basa V'Chala, certainly not Shechita anymore, but rather we're going to be discussing the halachis of Netilas Yudayim. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Cham Yor. If somebody has water that was heated up on a fire, meaning he has hot water, Chizki, Yom Chizki says, Ein Doit Man Yudayim, not allowed to use it for Netilas Yudayim. Mayim Arushayim. Rabbi Yochan, Amen Doit Man Yudayim, you're allowed to use it for Netilas Yudayim. Rabbi Yochan, said, Shalti is Rabbi Gamliel, Benoisha Rebbe. I asked Rebbe's son, Rabbi Gamliel, the son of the great Rebbe. Va'uchal Tyrus, he was someone that ate Chulam B'Tahira, Va'amalei, and he told me, Kol Gedoyli Galil Oisin Kain. They should know all the Gedolim in the Galil, they wash Mayim HaRishonim using Mayim Chayim. So whereas Chizkiyah said, you can't use Mayim Chayim for Netilas Yudayim, Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't. Rabbi Yochanan said, I have a raya. My raya is, I heard it from Rabbi Gamliel Benoish HaRebi, who was a Tana, who told it to me in the name of all the Gedolim HaGalil, that they used to use Mayim Chayim for Mayim HaRishonim. Says the Gemara, what about Chami Tveri? Can you wash Netilas Yudayim with the Chamei Tver? Chizkiyah said, Ein noit v'mehen l'yodayim. You're not allowed to use it for Netilas Yodayim. Now, just to hit the pause button for 1 second, Kipshuta, it's Chizkiyah l'shitasi, because the Chamei Tver is very, very hot. And if Chizkiyah holds that you're not allowed to use boiling hot water for Netilas Yodayim, so for the same price, you wouldn't be allowed to use the Chamei Tver either. But he continued it, Chizkiyah, and he said, Avomat bilin bohen ayodayim. But if you want to toivel your hands inside, that's something that you are allowed to do. So this concept of toiveling your hands in water is something that, unfortunately, the Meshach the Gullus got lost. But once upon a time, there was a concept that if somebody was going to eat kachim, for example, it's not enough for you to go ahead and just wash Netilas Yadayim, but you'd have to go to a mikveh. You don't have to immerse your entire body in the mikveh, but at the very least, you'd have to be toivel your Yadayim in a mikveh. So it says, Chizkiyah, that if you want to use Chamei Tveria for Netilas Yadayim, that's not something you can do. But at the same time, if you want to use the Chamei Tveria for Tfilas Yadayim, assuming there's Arban Sa and it meets the shir and the criteria of a mikveh, that's something that you'd be allowed to do. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol Gufay Toivel Behen, that if somebody wants to go ahead and he wants to toivel his entire guf inside the Chamei Tveria, that's okay. Avoloi pun of Yad V'Raglav. But if you want to be toivel just your hands, or pun of Yad V'Raglav, that's something that's already not going to be okay. So you can use Chamei Tveria for Tfilas Kol HaGuf, but you can use Chamei Tveria for Tfilas Pan of Yad V'Raglav. Incidentally, Rashi says there's no concept of Tfila for pun of and Raglav. You find it only for Yadav. So why are you mentioning pun of Yad V'Raglav? Because, you know, they always come together, Rashi says. Throughout Shas, you always find the concept, right? Once upon a time, you know, people didn't take showers as often as they take today, which is why in halacha, showering on yontif is very problematic. It's not a davar hashav l'chol nefesh. Again, not dvar matikin. But the bottom line is that once upon a time, a person would wash panav yadav v'raglav. Right, even in the Kiyar, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a concept of Kiddush Yadayim v'raglayim. But the bottom line is, says Rabbi Yochanan, that if somebody wants to wash kol gufay in Chami Tveria, the Teiras Mikveh, that's something he'd be allowed to do. But if he wants to use it for Panei Yad V'Raglav, that's not something he'd be allowed to do. Freit the Gemara, I don't understand. Hashta kol gufay teivu ben Panei Yad V'Raglav like Holshkin. How could it be that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Chami Tveria is a proper mikveh if he wants to immerse his entire body inside of it, but it's not a proper mikveh if he wants to be teivu Panei Yad V'Raglav? I'm Rapapas. Rapapas, so let me explain to you what's going on over here. And this Rapapa will be a beer, not just in explaining this one kasha that the Gemara has in Shitz Rabbi Yochanan, but a general has bar in the machloikis between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Papa as follows: Bim Koyman, as it relates to the Chami Tveria, in the event that the Chami Tveria is Bim Koyman, it's literally in the Grib, it's literally in the springs of Tveria. You go to the Makkah, the Kuli Alma, everyone's Maida, Loi Pligi Deshar. In other words, there's no question in the world that you can use it as a mikvah. There's no question in the world that if you want to be toivul Yad V'Raglav, that's something that's going to be okay. Mishko minaya b'mana. If somebody would go ahead and he would take the water out of the Chami Tveria in a keli, and he would want to wash Netilas Yadayim, kulam l'pligidas, everybody would agree that it's asa. Chizkiah said mefurish, Chami Tveria ein noitel mehen liyadayin, and even Rabbi Yochanan, who didn't say a word about it, he just said, kol gufay toivul behen, avaloy panay yad v'raglav, would agree that if you want to do Netilas Yadayim with the Chami Tveria, would not be okay. And by the way, even though Rabbi Yochanan said in the previous Gemara that if you want to use boiling hot water for Netilas Yadayim in Iska, but as it relates to Netilas Yadayim with the Chami Tveria, everybody would agree it's not okay. Keep pligi, what's the machloikis? The paskinu bebas birta. The machloikis was, in the event where you had Chami Tveria, and then there was like a channel that was protruding off of the Chami Tveria, and in that channel there was Chami Tveria. Now in that little channel that was it, you didn't have Arbon Sof, but it was an offshoot of the Chami Tveria, which at its source did have the Arbon Sof. What's the machlek? It's Marso the Gazvina Baspirta Atumana Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're not allowed to do tefillah in that little area, because I'm afraid that if you're going to do tefillah, you're going to do netila as well, and to do netila is not okay. Marso the Gazvina, whereas Chizkiah said, I'm not worried about this. Is not something that you have to make gzeira. In other words, the machlek is Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan in the sugya of Chami Tveria as it relates to netila zedaim, and netila zedaim is one situation. The situation is where there's a Baspirta, which means this offshoot from the mikvah, and a person goes and he wants to do tefillas yadayim v'raglayim. Is that going to be okay, or is it not going to be okay? According to Chizkiah, why shouldn't it be okay? If you can be toivel your entire guf, why shouldn't I be able to do tefillah on just my yadayim? Rabbi Yochanan holds, I'm maskim to what you're saying. But being that we're in agreement that you can't do netilas yadayim from that little body of water, so therefore, gazrinan basbirta atu mana, I think you have to be gazer tefillah atu the mana, and it's for that reason not going to be okay. But enachinami, if you wanted to go ahead and do tefillas yadayim in the mikveh itself, in the actual Chami Tveria, not in the basbirta, of course it would be okay. In that situation, there's no shiloh, would be fine. The question over here is where it's a bas birth, it's this like little offshoot. So there, it's not mamash a mikvah. There's a makom to be geyser atu mana, and that's machloek to Chizki Rabbi Yochanan. Did they make the gzeira atu mana, or did they not make the gzeira atu mana? So again, let's just get this a little bit better again. So as it relates to the Chami Tveria, as a person wants to be toivel as guf in the Chami Tveria, there's no shiloh, it's okay. If you go to the actual mikveh, the Chami Tveria, and you want to be toivel yadayim v'raglai, or toivel yadayim, that's something that everyone agrees is going to be okay. Right? Why not? It's a mikveh. There's no reason in the world it shouldn't be okay. If a person wants to go and do netilas yadayim with the Chami Tveria, everybody agrees it's not okay. Now, here we have to think about this for a second. Why does everybody hold it's not okay? Now, in the previous Gemara, Chizkiah said that Chami Ur ain't noitel mehen liyadayim. Oh, so the fact that Chizkiah would hold Chami Tveria is not good for the Netilas Yadayim, that'd be Chizkiah l'shitasi, that's easy. Rabbi Yochanan said noitel mehen liyadayim. So why over here by Chami Tveria is it so pashut it's not okay? So Rashi says, there's a chilek. The chilek is that when you have boiling hot water, that water naturally was not boiling hot. So it had a shasa koish. Now that it became boiling hot, I don't think anything changes. It's going to remain okay. The Chami Tveria was never not boiling hot. And being that it was never not boiling hot, it's for that reason it's going to be more chal. So again, as it relates to Tefillas Adam, everybody's going to agree that it's not going to be okay. What then is the Shaila? They're fighting about something. The Shaila is, we have this Bas Birta, and you want to do Tefillas Yodayim. The question is it okay? Because why not? It's a kosher mikvah, it's an offshoot from a mikvah. Or like Rabbi Yechon and Old Gazrina Bas Birta Atumana, and it's for that reason, it's not going to be okay. Says the Gemara, if this is the Machloikis, between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, and again, whether Gazrina Bas Birta Atumana, or Le Gazrina Bas Birta Atumana, you should know Ketanoi, they're arguing something that Tanam already argued. If there was Mayim that became puzzle for Shtiyas Behemah, meaning it's so bad this water that even a Behemah won't drink it. So what would be an example of Mayim Shenifsel Mishtiyas Behemah? It's a very important Rashi. Rashi says, Kigoyin Tzruchin is just disgusting water. Oi, what we need? Chamitver. Or it was Chamitver, yeah. So the halach is like this. Big Kalim, in the event that they're inside Kalim, Psulim, the halach is they're going to be Pasul. You now let her wash Netilas Yedayim with Mayim Shenifsalu Mishtias Behim. Or what we need? You now let her wash Netilas Yedayim from Chamitver. Big Karka, let's say they're inside the Karka, and you want to do not Netilas Yedayim, but Tfilas Yedayim. Kshirim, the halach is, they're going to be okay. Shimon Allah says, Af Bekarka, even if they're in the Karka, Toivu Behem Kol Gufay. If you want to be Toivu, your entire Guf, it's going to be fine. Avalei Panav Yadav Ragav. Again, Panav Yadav Ragav, we mean Yadav. But if you want to be Toivu Yadav, it's not going to be okay. Says the Gemara. Now, this is a Braisa. This Braisa, L'chayrish, tells us the same Shaila that we asked in Rabbi Yochanan in the previous Gemara. Hashta Kol Gufay Toivu Behem. If you're allowed to Toivu your entire Guf, Panav Yadav Ragav, like Holshkin, then certainly you should be allowed to be Toivu Panav Yadav Ragav. El Olav. You have to say, you have to make some sort of a kimta. What's the kimta? The paskinu bebas birta. The case is probably talking about where it's not mamish a mikvah, but there's this bas birta. And the shaila now is, could I do tfilas yadayim? What would be the tzad not? Uba hapligi. The mar sabar gazrina bas birta atumana. It's because Rav Shimon Elazar holds that you have to make a gzeir of a bas birta atumana. Mar sabar like gazrina. Whereas the Tanakama holds that this is not something you have to be geyser. But the bottom line is, kitanoi. If this is the machlik, because you should know that you find Machlokes Tanoim as well. Now, just to clarify one point. Usually, when you say Kitanoim, so you have a Machlokes Amayram, and I want to show you it's Machlokes Tanoim, I have like a Mefurish of Machlokes Tanoim that stems with the way we just explained the Machlokes Amayram. Right? We had a very sasum Machlokes Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. We didn't really know what's going on over here. We had this bomb kasha, and we made up an akimta, basbirta, and the Machlokes is whether it goes Rina basbirta atumana or Machlokes Rina basbirta atumana. And then where it says Kitanoim. So you would expect, okay, Tanoi, you should know it's Mamish HaMefurish HaMachlikes Tanoim. This Machlikes HaMayram is in line with that Machlikes Tanoim. The Machlikes Tanoim that we had is not any more clear than the Machlikes HaMayram that we had. In fact, it's almost verbatim the identical Machlikes. You have a Machlikes Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, you have a Machlikes Tanakama and Rav Shimon Elazar, and it sounds like it's Kemat the same Machlikes. So you have to say what the Gemara means Ketanoi is, we're not like shtelling to this Machlikes Tanoim to our Machlokes HaMayram, and as support to our understanding of the Machlokes HaMayram. All we're saying is that you should know this Machlokes HaMayram happens to be the same as a Machlokes Tanam. Not that I have more information in the Machlokes Tanam as it relates to the Kimta than I had in the Machlokes HaMayram. It's the same Shtikl Torah that we made in the Machlokes HaMayram that we are making in the Machlokes Tanam. But just so happens that this identical machlokes repeats itself amongst the Amiram and amongst the Tanam. We don't know any other way to learn it. It's probably the same exact machlokes. Hence, what we end up with is a ketanoi. But we don't mean to prove our akimta from the ketanoi, because you don't have any more evidence that this is pshat in the machlokes Tanakam Rav Shimon Elazar than you had that this is pshat in the machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, Zokti Gemara, Amar Rabbi Di Bar Rabin, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Ashyon, Netilas Yodayim L'chulin, Bipnei Srach Trumah. The reason there's an obligation to wash Nitilas Yadayim before you sit down to eat a meal, it's because of a Srach Truma. V'oid, and there's another reason, Mishum Mitzvah. And also because it's a Mitzvah. So, Al Rishon Rishon Val Achron Achron. And the truth is, as it relates to the Achron, Mishum Mitzvah, the Gemara is going to address. Next words of the Gemara, my Mitzvah, but Mishum Srach Truma, that's something that the Gemara does not address, Rashi of course does, and it's something that we all are on some level familiar with, and that is, why is it that one has an obligation to wash his hands before he breaks bread? One of the most basic mitzvahs in the Torah, one of the most basic laws of being an observant Jew in 2026. Before you wash, or before you eat bread, you have to wash your hands. What's this all about? Says the Gemara, the first reason is, it's because once upon a time, there were people that used to eat truma. Now, Chazal made a gzeira that stam yodayim are shnius l'toma. In the world of toma v'tahira, a person's hands wake up in the morning being a sheni l'toma. The reason is because yodayim askani yaseim, hands can have a mind of their own, and as a result, you never know where you might have touched your hands. The bottom line is Chazal made a takana, and they said that a person's hands should always be deemed to be a sheni l'toma. Now this is a chiddush on many levels. Number one, it's a chiddush because mechtesa. If you touch a sheretz, you should be a sheni l'toma. If you didn't touch a sheretz, why are you sheni l'toma? Not just that, usually a part of a person's guf can't become tummy. Either you're tummy or you're not tummy. There's no such thing on a deraisadiga level where my hands are tummy but my feet are tahar. Doesn't make any sense. But this is a chiddush of Chazal, yudches dvarim related, and the bottom line is that Chazal and Masakin, that a person's hands are considered a sheni l'toma. We know a sheni l'toma is a very diluted form of toma. It could only be metama, truma, and kachem. So it can make truma or kachem into a shlishi l'toma. A shlishi, by the way, could only be metama, kachem, and to make it into a revi l'toma. Once upon a time, when Yidden ate truma, so it was very important before you ate truma to wash your hands. Because if you're not going to wash your hands before you eat truma, so your hands that are a sheni l'toma may very well go and be metame your truma. And if you eat truma, that's tamei, that's a very bad thing. That's not something you're allowed to do. It's for that reason Chazal said that before you eat bread of truma, you have to make sure you have to wash your hands. Why? Wash them to be metire them from that sheni l'toma. Now, shouldn't you have to go to the mikvah? When you wash your hands, if you're a sheni l'toma, you have to be tayvel the mikvah. The teretz is, because it's only your hands are tamei. Again, this whole chiddush the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon said, being that it's only your hands that are tamei, you can do netilas yadayim, tefilas yadayim, as we just were educated. And if you want to go ahead and you want to do that, that in of itself is going to be okay. Now, the truth is, Chazal really could have made this takana for all truma, right? I mean, any time a person is going to eat truma, he should have to go ahead and wash his hands. But being that ki al alechem yichya adam, that's the primary source of sustenance, so that's where this ikra alacha was instituted. But the bottom line is, said Rav Idi bar Avin, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ashion, you want to know why Jews wash their hands before they break bread, right? You've probably been asked that question at one point in your life. It's a complicated answer. It's mipnei srach truma. This is the real reason. Not just for sanitary purposes. It's mipnei srach truma. It's because Chazal were worried in a world where people will oichle truma, that what's going to be that if I'm not going to wash my hands for chulin, I may forget to also not wash my hands for truma. That's terrible. So as a gzeira, mishum srach truma, you may go ahead and be metame truma and then eat it. That's why Chazal said, go ahead and wash your hands. Even when it comes to chulin. That's the first reason. The second reason is, v'oy mishum mitzvah. Says, well, my mitzvah, what's that second rule? What does it even mean? Because the mitzvah? Yeah, we're trying to figure out, why is it a mitzvah? I'm Rabbaya. Rabbaya said, yeah, mitzvah l'shmaya divrei chachamim. So what does this mean? This is a little nuance. What Rabbaya is saying is that Damiram was saying that once you appreciate that netilas yadayim l'chulin is mishum srach truma, that in and of itself is a reason for you to wash your hands. Even if it wasn't a mitzvah, but you should wash your hands because you should be sensitive to the fact that you don't want a chalila at some point come to eat truma be'etumah. But said Abaya that once Chazal went ahead and they told you to do it, the reason behind it doesn't even matter anymore. Why isn't that? Because if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Right? So the time is one reason. And forget the time. Chazal told you to do it. It's a mitzvah. And therefore, it's something you have to do. So again, it's really two reasons that are one. The tam, that should be an impetus for you to go ahead and do it. And forget the tam. The fact that Chazal told you to do it, that should be an impetus for you to do it. But that's Abaya's understanding of Mishum Mitzvah. Rava, you could see why maybe he didn't like this pshat so much. It's a little dachuk, right? Because if that's the case, every Rabbanon that has a reason, you usually would assume they would have a reason, would be two reasons. Number one, the gzeira, right? And number two, mitzvah l'shmaya, divrei chacham. So Rava said, it sounds like there's like a different mitzvah over here. What's the mitzvah? So he said something incredible. He said, mitzvah l'shmaya, divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. The mitzvah is a mitzvah to listen to Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. The pasuk says, v'cholach yigabay hazav, v'yadav loishotav b'mayim, from this pasuk, Chazal learned that netilas yadayim is minatayr. Now, what's the pasuk talking about? The pasuk is talking about that somebody that touches a zav or the zav touches it. So the halacha is right. If there's a maga with a zav, it's going to create tuma. So it says v'chola sheyigabay hazav. From here you learn the tilos. What's pashim shah, right? Where do you see this in the pasuk? Because it says, now it sounds a little bit, if you were learning pshutei shel mikra, this is what the pasuk says. That in the event that you touch a zav, or a zav touches you, and then after you, let's say, touch the zav, you didn't wash your hands. So the halach is v'tamei, you're going to be tamei. As if to say, if you touch a zav, and you wash your hands, you're not tamei. No, if you touch a zav, you have to go to the mikveh. It's not enough for you to wash your hands. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was bothered. Hashataf tahar? Hatfila boy. You have to go to the mikveh. Elo hachi kamei. This is what he must have meant. The achar shaloi shataf tahar. The yod of loy shataf amayim is not the reaction that the person who touched the zav didn't do, but it's referring to another category of tumah. V'chalash yigabay azav is tahar. Not just that, the yod of loy shataf amayim is also going to be tame. What does that mean? When is a person that's yod of leishotav b'mayim tame? What it means is that if a person did not wash his hands before he sat down to eat bread, even if it's chulin, not only chulin, doesn't say a word about chumah, even if it's chulin, then he's in a state of tome. He just violated something that he wasn't allowed to do. This was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach's makar in the Torah to the idea of mayim arishonim, and that's what Chazal meant when they said va'oid mishum mitzvah l'shmoya divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who learned from the pasuk v'yodav leishata b'mayim, a remez to the concept of netilas yodayim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Shili, Amar netilas yodayim, the peiris elim mishum nekiyas. The concept of netilas yodayim is for lechem. What about peiris? Yeah, there is such a thing, but that's related to sanitary reasons. Like Amru, netilas yodayim leperis elim mishum nekiyas. Of a mina, said Bnei Yeshiva heard what Rabbi Elazar said named Rabbi Yishiyah, so they assumed chayvahu delaka ha-mitzvekah. Right, sounds like there's no chiyav, but he sounds like he's saying there's a mitzvah. Right, it's not on the level of bread, but nekiyas means something, right? So if nekiyas means something, so it sounds like there's no question that there is some mitzvah, at least. Not chayva, but it's mitzvah. Right? These are nuances. Chayva means you have to do it. Mitzvah means I don't have to do it, but if I do it, I'm doing a very righteous thing. Amalu Rav, as Rav told him, it's not a chayva, it's not a mitzvah. You want to know what it is? It's a rishos. Says the Gemara, please, Rav Nachman. What Rav said is like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, that if somebody washes his hands before peiros, he's megasi ruach. It's not a chayva, it's not a mitzvah, it's not rishos. He's a groyser bal gaiva. That's what it is. What's the gaiva? Because he looks like he's firmer than the halacha. In halacha, you're supposed to wash your hands before bread. I even wash it for pears. I was once standing in the presence of Rav Ami Rav Asi. I saw the kamei, I called the pear, and they brought them a cluster of fruit. They ate from it. They didn't wash their hands. Not just that. You know, I was there. They didn't offer me a grape. They didn't offer me pitus. I never offers pitus. They didn't offer me any pitus. Not just that, when it came time to make a bracha achrona, each person made his own bracha achrona. So Rabbi Brachana says, right, Rabbi Brachana told some really good stories of Perek HaMelech HaSasvina. This is not quite as dramatic, you know, dragons and kings and things. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Brachana has a story. He says, I was by Rav Ami and Rav Asi, right? I mean, I get the Masat Sailor. And he says, I saw that they brought him pitus. And he says, number one, they ate it without washing their hands. Number two, they didn't offer me nothing. And number three, he said, each person made his own bracha achrona. And he said, Shma mino tlas. I learned three things from this story. Shma mino in netilas yadayim leperis. I see from here, no netilas yadayim for peris. And by the way, l'chari, you see from here, it's not a chayva. You see also it's not a mitzvah. Now, it could be rishos. Do you see that it's gasi ruach? I don't know. But for sure, not chayva and not mitzvah. Ushma mino, another thing you see from here is that there's no inyan to say Rabboisai Mevel Benchin as it relates to Peiris. Now, what's the Nuch Bruch on Peiris? Either you make a Bar Nefashis, or you make a la Peiris, right? Or you make a Mein Shef, but Mein Shalash. But the point is that you don't make a proper Benchin. If there was an obligation to do Zimun, when three people sit together and they eat Danishes, he said, it's pasha to me that they would have offered me. Why? Because the halacha is, you can't do zimun if you have two people. You can only do zimun if you have three people. So they probably would have said, have a little fruit. So like this, you could be mitzdarif in the zimun. From the fact that they didn't do that, must be because there's no zimun anyway. So he was medayik from the fact that they didn't offer many pears. For sure there's no zimun. And Shmamina, finally, shnayim sha'achlu mitzvah lechalek, that if two people eat together, the right way to do it is each person should make his own nuch brocha, as opposed to having one person be mitzi everybody else. Right? There is a concept ma'aseh of beroy vam hadras melech. And whenever there's a zimun, that's the real way that it's supposed to be, right? Minagagra. But the bottom line is, that's the real way it's supposed to be. But you see, that's only true if you're going to have zimun. But if you don't have zimun, you only have two people, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Take a look at Tosfos here and in Brachos. Tosfos discusses, why not? Why is it that there's no inyan of beroy vam hadras melech? So Tosfos says that really, by a bracha rishona, you do fine. Lechatchila, have one person be moitzi everybody. He said, because when two people sit down to eat, they're completely on the same page. They're both focused on the food that's in front of them. And therefore, one person can be moitzi. But when the meal is over, they're already each going their own way. As a result, there's like a period of levavos. And therefore, can have one person be moitzi other people. That's not going to be okay. Bottom line is, as it relates to the last halacha, which halacha? Shnayim sha'achlu mitzvah lichalik. Third of the three things that Rabbi Chana said, I learned from my encounter with Rabbi Amir Abassi, says the Gemara, it's supported by Bryce. Tanya, Nami Hochi, Shnaim Shochlum, Mitzvah Lichol, two people eat together, there's a mitzvah for each person to make the bracha created by themselves. When is that true? Shahoyu Shneim Soifim. That's if the both Tamil Chacham. I mean, they both know how to make a bracha. Abo Echad Soifim, the Echad Bor. But let's say one person knows how to make a bracha, but the other one doesn't know how to make a bracha. Soifim, Mavarich Abor Yoitze. That's pretty obvious. Says the Gemara, another Bryce. Tan Rabbana, Netilas Yadayim Lechulin. Ad haperek. When a person washes his hands l'chulin, he's supposed to wash it ad haperek. So Rashi says, what does it mean ad haperek? These Rashis are on Amid Beis. Ad haperek means the second joint. So if you look at your hand, right? So there's one joint underneath the nail, a second joint underneath that, then you have your knuckles, and then you have your wrist, right? This is the anatomy and physiology component of today's daf. So, netilas yadayim l'chulin, ad haperek, means that second joint. L'truma, when you're washing for truma, it's ad haperek, same lashon ad haperek, but here Rashi says it means that being that you're washing for truma, so this is the real thing, right? L'chulin is only mishum srach truma. This is the actual truma, so they have to go all the way to your knuckles. And kiddush yadayim v'raglayim b'mikdash, as relates to kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in the Beis HaMikdash, ad haperek, that had to be also ad haperek. Again, which perek, right? So this is already the third perek. This is talking about the wrist. So there's netilas yadayim l'chulin, there's netilas yadayim l'chuma, and then there was kiddush yadayim raglayim, which is a form of netilas yadayim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. As it relates to chulin, it's the perek hasheni. As it relates to truma, it's the perek hashlishi, also known as the knuckles. And as it relates to kiddush yadayim raglayim, it's the perek harevi, that it's already the wrist. Says the Braisa Vaiter, the Choldovish Chaytzeitz betfila beguf. Anything that's considered a chatzitz, if a person's going to go in the mikvah, it's chaytzeitz between his guf and the water. Chaytzeitz benetilas yadayim lechulin. It's also considered a chatzitz of benetilas yadayim lechulin, and certainly for truma. Ubekidush yadayim raglayim in mikdash, and it's considered a chatzitz of a kiddush yadayim raglayim in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Says the Gemara. So this was all a Braisa. Now the Amoraim are going to opine. Amar Rav, Rav said, ad kan l'chulin, ad kan l'chum. So Rav, who we know is not a man of many words, Rav pointed, without explaining himself, and he said, ad kan l'chulin, ad kan l'chum. Now what did he point to? It's impossible to know from simply reading the Gemara. So Rashi says, ad kan l'chulin, mara hada biyadei k'may shepi Rashi. So look at the previous Rashis. And he was pointing, meaning he pointed to the second joint, right? So by us pointing, we're following Rav. It's not something we usually do. That's not something that the Gemara usually does. So Rav pointed to the second joint. Why? Because that's where you're supposed to go, l'chulin. And for the truma, he pointed to his knuckles. So Rav showed the chevra his knuckles, and he said, this is where it is as it relates to truma. V'shmul amar. So Shmuel followed Rav's way. I don't know if this is Shmuel's mahalach ordinarily, but Shmuel says, no, ad kan bein l'chulin, bein l'truma. He said, no, it's the same place for chulin and for truma. And he was being machmer. What does it mean he was machmer? So he pointed to his knuckles for both. He said, just like it's knuckles for truma, it's knuckles for chulin as well. Rav Sheshes Amar, Rav Sheshes said, ad kan, bein lechulin, bein lechuma. Rav Sheshes also said, ad kan. Again, he didn't speak, but he pointed. And he pointed to the same place, lechulin or lechuma, but he went lekula. He didn't go lechumra. He went lekula. He said, it's the second joint, not the knuckles. And this is something that's going to be true, not only for chulin, but it's going to be true for chuma as well. Amr Barhedi. Barhedi said, Avkim the Kamei de Rav Ami was once in the presence of Rav Ami. Amr, and he said, ad kan, bein lechulin, bein lechuma. So it sounds like this is the way that Amir Ram used to say this halacha, right? They said, ad kan bein l'chulin bein l'chuma. Again, not talking, but pointing. ulochumra, and he did a lochumra, knuckles for chulin and for truma. But loy tamer Rav Ami mishum lekayin hu. And then Bar Hedya said, I don't think that the reason Rav Ami was machmer even for chulin is because Rav Ami himself was a kayin. So being that he's a kayin, so maybe for him the chshash of srach truma makes sense. So you're washing netilas yadayim because of a srach truma. So if you're a kayin, you eat truma, obviously it's more prevalent. So therefore, he would be a little bit more mad. Nothing to do with that. You know, I know that. The Rami Yosha bar breid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rami Yosha, who's Rabbi Shua ben Levi's grandson, who Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, I guess was a Levi, but who Levi, he is a Levi. The Amran, he said, Ad kan bein l'chumra bein l'truma, and he also said a l'chumra. So your shtickle taira of suggesting that maybe Rav Ami is only doing it because he's a kayin, while Rabbi Shua ben Levi's family also held that way, and they were Levian. See, you see, it has nothing to do with kayin or Levi, right? Levi can't eat truma. So if that's the case, must be he was pointing in that direction simply because of the fact that he held that this is the way that it's supposed to be. We are going to stop here. So as it relates to Raid, two ha'aras. The first, related to the daf. That is, I saw in the shiurim from Hagoyin Rabbi Shulam David Halevi Zechrein Levracha. And this is his shiurim on Divrei Agada, his shmuzen. So there's a volume of shiurim from Rab David. It's called Drush Va'agada, Biyurei Tefila, Uvdis, and in Yonei Hashav. If you can get your hands on the Sefer, it's Mamish Kedai. It's a lot of the Briska Shmuzin. There's a ton there. But either way, so he brings, and this is on page Kufnunhe. He says, Abei Salevi ha yomakbid umachmer ba'oid b'netil sedayim. So the Beis Halevi was very machmer, and he was very makbid in netil sedayim. And when he would wash his hands for netil sidayim, he would use a lot of water. Ad kidei kach, said Rabbi Shulam David, shekishoye pam b'achsanya. He was once staying in an inn. Also loy achakach b'achsanya chesh ben miyuchid al hamayim novad al dino v'achilo. So when he checked out and he got his invoice, so there was a line item for all the water that he used while he was staying there as a guest. But Amalei Beis Halevi, and the Beis Halevi told the b'achsanya, he said he knows pshat now in a pasuk in Parshas Vayesar. It says that when Elias Eved Avram arrives, that Rivka and Lavan, right, they went ahead and they gave Eliezer, they gave him food, and they even gave water. Vitzarech beer, said the Beis Halevi, it always bothered me. Maha godless possession, nasan ktsas mayim lirches araglayim. What was the big deal that they offered a little bit of water? Aval atem yushav li apasek, said the Beis Halevi to this kreitshme. He said, now I understand pshat in the pasek. She said, how your Beis Malon? He said, this was a hotel. Kidechsev, hayesh Beis Avicham makom lanu lalon, and in hotels, vaser is oich agresezach. That's what he said. But either way, this is the story that Rav Shulam David Halevi said about the Beis Halevi. Pam shal oisay echad. He said, someone once came over to the Beis Halevi. You can't say it better than the briskus. You might as well just read it inside. Madua hu kol kach makbid be mitzvah zu. He said, why are you so makbid in this mitzvah? Haloi shloima melech tikin netilas yadayim rak l'koydesh. The original takana of netilas yadayim was meant for koydesh. Ve'acha kach tichnu chachonim shegam l'chum etzorech netilo. Ve'acha kach gozru shegam l'chulim tzorech netilas yadayim mishum strach trumo. Chulim daf kuvav aben aleph. Ve'af bizman hazeh she'in trumo. And today we don't even have truma. The kibbutz I call rak mishum tzrach truma. The kachin she ain't a noyig of his manaseh. So this kid came to the Beis Halevi. He says, today you don't have truma. Today you don't have kachin. Mat zorich kol kach ledakte gula hachmir bazeh. Why are you being so machmir? The hishav leya Beis Halevi. So the Beis Halevi told him, I want to tell you a story. A mashal. La adam shayu asher gadol. He was very, very wealthy. Ubanu la'atzmai armen gadol amafur. And he built for himself this magnificent mansion. Ubamaka mechad asa delas. And in one area in the mansion, he made a door. Me'eitz, it was made of wood. Me'yuchad, it was something very unique. Umeshubatz pizav. And it was literally made with gold. La'achashonim, after many years, yorim minachasav. This gvir, he lost all his money. V'hutzrach limkar is kolnes chasav azachaza. And slowly, he had to liquidate all his possessions. And he had to sell everything that he owned. Aval esadelas azulay hiskim limkar b'shum oifen. But that one special door that he had in his mansion, he refused to sell. Sh'alu oisai. Eizat tzarech yesh lecha b'delas kazu. Atto kishayin lecha armoy. You know, when you had a mansion, it makes sense to have this really cool door. But now you don't have the house anymore. So what are you doing with this door? You can use the money. He told him, as long as I'm holding on to this door, this is proof. This is my way of holding on to some element of the wealth that I once had. A little something to show that I have faith, I have emuna, a bitachon, that maybe everything is going to turn around. But if I'm going to sell this store, it's going to prove that I've completely given up hope. He said, all the anhodis, all these mitzvahs that we once had, truma, kachin, this is all hilchas l'mashicha. These are things we don't have anymore. There's one mitzvah we can do, Bizman said, that has anything to do with truma. Fascinating. As long as Yid is metaktik in netilas yadayim, zemara the shows she yeshlanu tikva she yibana beis hamikdash b'mehera. V'loy his ya'ashnu milihigav v'loshu l'beis hamikdash. Said the Beis Halevi, from a practical standpoint, being machmir netilas yadayim today doesn't make a lot of sense. But netilas yadayim to me, the Beis Halevi, what he saw with his piercing eyes, this was his way of holding on to the mitzvah of truma, even in our galus, to show that animamim b'muna soleima, b'vias ha-mashiach, and that one day we'll have truma again. And when we have truma again, you're going to have to wash netilas yadayim. So I'm going to continue to accustom myself to wash my hands before chulin, because b'mheri yibana beis hamikdash, and this is going to be truma in the world. And at that point, this is going to be something that will be so relevant because of the tzrach truma. Today there's no Indian of tzrach truma, but that's if you live in a world of yish. But if you live in the world of b'mheri yibana beis hamikdash, that even in today's world, fakir, you're living, you understand that truma can be something that we're going to have to do today, something that we're going to have to do tomorrow, and the element of Srach Truma. And he said, holding on to this is our way of showing that we weren't Miyayish, that we have Tikva, and we believe that one day we're going to have the mitzvah of Truma again. That's why the Beis Halevi, counterintuitively, was so machmer in the Inyan of Netilas Yadayim. That's the first Ara. The second Ara, and this is Dover Be'itoy Matoiv. Today's Rosh Chodesh Elul. So the Gemara in today's daf spoke about the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, mayim rishonim, mayim achronim, and then the Gemara said, "Amar Rabbi di Barabin, Amar Rabbi Yischak Bar Ashian, netilas yadayim lechulin mipnei srach truma va'oid mishon mitzvah." Said the Gemara, "Mayim mitzvah, machloikas abaye v'rava." Abaye said, "Mitzvah lishmoya divrei chachamim." Rava said, "Mitzvah lishmoya divrei Rabbi Loza ben Arach," because Rabbi Loza ben Arach darshin from a pasuk in Parshas Shmini, v'cholat sheyiga by hazav v'yadav lo shatav b'mayim v'tahar, mikan samchul netilas yadayim in atayra. And there's a mitzvah to listen to the drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and that's what Chazal meant when they said that there is a inyan to wash netilas yadayim even before chulin. Number one, because of srach truma. Number two, mitzvah lishmaya divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. This Gemara right here is an answer to a trivia question. There's one memra in Shas, one Dvar Halacha that's attributed to the great Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. It's this Gemara right here. Chulin Daf Kuvav Amrav. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is mentioned a few times in Yerushalmi, not many, but a few. But in Talmud Bavli, he's mentioned one time. It's this Gemara, and Chazal make a big deal about it. Mitzvah Lishmoya Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. So I think it's kedai to talk for a minute about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Truth is, a while back, we did 3 raid bites on Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach and the Maisa Merkava, part 1, part 2, and part 3. But believe it or not, that was more than 6 years ago. It's amazing how time flies when you learn Daf Yomi. But this is already more than 6 years since we spoke about that. So I think it's kedai, and certainly in the spirit of Dover Be'itay Matoy, to talk for a minute about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. The Mishnah in Pirkei Yavos, this is Perek Beis Mishnah Ches, says, Chamisha Talmidim Hoyloi the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 prized Talmidim. The Eluhei, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkinis, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yosni Akoyin, Rabbi Shimon ben Nesano, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Who are your Moine Shvachim? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to label his Talmidim. He would be Moine der Shvach. He used to point out what unique quality each one of his Talmidim had. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, he said, he's someone that doesn't ever forget anything. Rabbi Yeshua, Ashrei Yeladotai. Rabbi Yossi is a chassid. Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano is a yirechet. And finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was a mayan hamiskab. Who are you? Rabbi Yechman Zaka used to continue. And he would say, kol chachmei Yisrael bekaf mazayin. If you would put all the chachmei Yisrael on a scale, v'Eliezer ben Hyrcanus bekaf shnia, meaning all the chachmei Yisrael would be on one side, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus would be on the other side, machriya is kula, he would go ahead and he would be Machriya's Kulan. Abishol, Oymer Mishmoy. Abishmoy would say in the name of Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, no. In you, call Chachmi Yisrael Bekach Mazayim, if you would take all the Chachmi Yisrael and put them on one side, for Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus Afimok, and you would include in that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and you would put Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Bekach Shnia, and you would put Rabbi Elazar ben Arach on the other side, Machriya's Kulan, then Rabbi Elazar ben Arach would be Machriya all of them. Rabbi Yechim and Zakai used to rank his Talmidim. And there were two versions of who the greatest of all the Tanam were. In the first version, it was Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Im you kol chachmi Yisrael, bekaf maznayim. V'Eliezer ben Hyrcanus bekaf shnia, machriya kulan. In the second version, Abishol's version, im you kol chachmi Yisrael bekaf maznayim, v'Eliezer ben Hyrcanus imohem. And you would put Rabbi Elazar ben Arach on the other side, he would be the one that was machriya kulan. In other words, from all the chachmi Yisrael, who was the greatest? Either Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, or it was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, in Ruach Chaim, says, what's this machlokes? Is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus the greatest of all the Tanaim? Is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach the greatest of all the Tanaim? So he says, beautiful. Hu hayamayna shvachan. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was a bar sid she'ina ma'apetipa. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was a mayan amaskaber. A bar sid she'ina ma'apetipa means he doesn't forget any information. He has a photographic memory. He retains an enormous amount of Torah. He had an incredible bekiyas, what's known in the vernacular as a Sinai. A Mayan Amaskabra means he's a blitz of the Galamdin. He could ask a kasha, he could say a teretz, he could clear a chakira hayadua, what's known in the vernacular as an oikaharim. He says, we know the Gemara in Seif Brachas and in Seif Hori is cleared. What's Adif? Sinai Adif or Oikaharim Adif? Says Rabbi Chaim Volozhin in Ruach Chaim, the Machloikis in this Mishnah, whether Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is the greatest of all the Tanam, or Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was the greatest of all the Tanam, is that Shaila, Sholcho Mitam? Is the Sinai Adif? Or is the Oikaharim Adif? Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was the Sinai. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was the Oikaharim. The Tanakama, the first version in the Mishnah said, him, you call Chachmi Yisrael, Bekaf Mazayim, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Bekaf Shnia, he be Machriya's Kulin, because he's the Boris Tichain of Apetipa, because Sinai is Adif. Abishol, I'm a Mishmoy, no. That would be Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, because Abishol holds like the Shittas that are of the opinion that Oikaharim is Adif. This Machloik is here, whether it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, or whether it's Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, was whether or not Sinai Adif, or whether or not Oikaharim Adif. But the truth is, you have to be mispoiling. You have to meditate on this Mishnah for a minute. I mean, this is a very interesting Mishnah, right? You always wonder, who's the greatest of all the Tanam? Are we allowed to talk? We can do this ourselves, but we're just quoting Rabbi Yechem and Zakei, right? But it's a fascinating thing to think about a little bit. And really, here we have him before a Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's either Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus or Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Just appreciate the Mishnah a little bit better. Rabbi Yechem and Zakei didn't just say that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus or Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was the greatest of all the Tanam. Im you kol chachmei Yisrael bekaf mazayim. If you would take all the chachmei Yisrael, put them on one side, and put Eliezer ben Hyrcanus on the other side, he'd be Machriya's Kulan. That means he's greater than all the Tanam combined. And Abishol held that if you would take all the Chachmi Yisrael and you would even include in that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach would be greater than all of them combined. So this is not just, you know, a slight edge. This is incredibly bigger. The greatness of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach in this Mishnah is nishtza gloib. And if you think about it, it's a davar pel. Bishloima Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, I understand. Who is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? He's Tam Rabbi Eliezer in Shas. He was known as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Right, the greatest appellation one can get in the Orthodox Jewish world is he's a Gadol. He's a Gadol. Rabbi Eliezer is the Gadol with the Hei Ayudin. And we've mentioned so many times over the years the Radal and his many Hakdomas, his Pirush HaPirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, who he's... He talks about the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer, his neshama, to his Torah, to his niglo, to his nister, to his uvdis. It's dvarim niflam adamoy. So the fact that Rabbi Eliezer and Hyrcanus would be the greatest of all the Tanan, that's not so shver. Not so much the first time I mentioned in Shas, the last time I mentioned in Shas. I mean, how many times have we gone through this inyan during this last machzer? But that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach should go down as the greatest of all the Tanan. There's one memory that we have from him in Shas. Today's daf. Chulin daf kuvav amin aleph. What's Pashup Shat? How could that even be? Maybe you could say, there's a Gemara in Masechtas Chagiga, daf Yud Aleph on the base. This is in Perik Ein Darshan, the second Perik in Masechtas Chagiga. And the Gemara there is discussing the halacha of Ein Darshan b'maisa merkava. You're not allowed to teach someone the maisa merkava, even if you're doing it in a private session, b'yachid, elam kein ha'yachacham u'mevin midaita. Unless this person that you're teaching the maisa merkava to is on a level that if he tried understanding it on his own, he'd be able to understand it on his own. Within the world of mystical teachings, the Maisa Merkava, the first parak of Sefer Yecheskel, is the Gagal guy. And it was so sensitive, the material and the nature of the Maisa Merkava, that Chazal said, you're not allowed to teach the Maisa Merkava unless the person that you're teaching it to could be mechavin to everything you're teaching, midaita. But if he's not a chacham, maybe midaita, you're not allowed to teach the Maisa Merkava. And then the Gemara, here in the second parak, tells a lot of different stories related to the Maisa Merkava. By the way, one of the most famous stories in Shas, the Arba Nichasu L'Paradis with Elisha Baravua, it's an offshoot from this whole sugya of the Maisa Merkava. The Gemara on Daf Yudal on the base says, Tanu Rabban, Maisa Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was a story to Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shayu Roichav al Chamar. He was once riding on a donkey. Vayimahalich baderech, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach mechamer achavarav. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he was following behind him. Amaloi. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach turned to Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He said, Rebbe, Shneili perek echav b'maisa merkava. Can you please teach me something in Maisa Merkava? Amaleis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turns to Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. And he says, Loi kach shamisi lochem, haven't I told you? Don't you know it's a mission? Clearly implying and suggesting that he wasn't a chacham that's mevin midaita, and as a result, I can't teach you. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rebbe, I hear, you don't want to teach me? But tarsheni loy milafanecha davar echad shalamadatani. Allow me to tell you something that you once taught me. Amar, lois, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, you know what, emar. Miyad yor Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai me'al hachamar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got off the chamar. And he put on a talus. And he sat down on a stone underneath an olive tree. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said, Rebbe, why are you getting off the chamar? Amar. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Efshat derush b'maisa merkava. You're about to dash in maisa merkava. Ushchina imanu, the shchina is going to be with us. Umalachi asharis melavu. My son, and it's going to be malachi asharis with us. Vani erkav ala chamar, and I should disrespectfully be sinning on a chamar. Miad pas Rabbi Elazar ben Arach b'maisa merkava. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach began reciting maisa merkava, the darash, and he said, and he gave drashas. As Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was Darshni b'maisa merkava, yorda ish ben hashamayim. Fire came down from the heavens. V'sibiva kolo hilani shebesadna. And it encircled all the trees in the field. Paschu kulon. All the trees opened their mouths. V'amru shira. And they sang shira. Ma shira amru. What was the shira? They said, halu as Hashem in ha'aretz. Tanina b'chol tohoimois. Eitz pri v'chol ha'rozim. Halleluka. Nena malach v'neish. All of a sudden a malach started talking from the fire. V'amar and said, hein hein maisa merkava. Everything that you just heard Rabbi Elazar ben Arach say, you should know he was mechavin to the MS. Hein hein maisa merkava. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got up. U'noshke al roishe. And he kissed him on his head. V'amar and he said, Baruch Hashem. But how fortunate are you, Avram Avinu, that you was noicha, that Elazar ben Arach, Rebbe Elazar ben Arach, came from you. The Marsha on this Gemara asks the most obvious question in the world. Great Marsha, I can't even read the Gemara. You Pasha can't read the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach asks Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, teach me Maisa Merkava. Shneili Perak Acha B'Maisa Merkava. Amaloi, it's a Mishnah. Loi Kach Shom Yisi Lochem. V'loi B'Merkava B'Yachid. Elim Kein Hoya Chacham Umei V'Midaita. So what's Rabbi Elazar ben Arach to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? You know what? You don't want to teach me? No worries. Tarsheni Loi Melefanecha Dover Ach Shulam Adatani. Then allow me at least to tell you something that you once taught me. I thought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai held that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was not in the Madrega to be taught Maisa Merkava. V'loi b'merkava b'yachid, elam kein hoya chacham mei b'midaita. And then Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says, okay, but You know you once taught me Maisa Merkava. If Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai is of the opinion that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch is not on the Madrega to be taught Maisa Merkava, so how could he have taught him Maisa Merkava previously? Rabbi Tersheni Loimilafanecha Dover Echshel Madaton. And by the way, as soon as Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai hears that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch is going to tell him something that he once taught him, Miad Yar Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai Me'al HaChamar, and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch says, why are you getting off the Chamar? He says, what do you mean? You're about to be Derish by Maisa Merkava. What's going on over there? Says the Marsha, Dover Nifla. Says the Gemara, says Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf, Mem Zayin Amabez, a very, very well-known Gemara. The Gemara over there is talking about a certain river. It was called the Diu Meses River. And the Diu Meses River was apparently a resort that people used to go to. And very often, they'd leave some of the Yerushamayim over there. Apparently the water, the bathing there was fantastic. The wine was off the charts. It was the south or something. And the bottom line is, people used to go there. And the Gemara talks about this area for various different reasons. In fact, Amar Rav Chelboy, Chamra de Prugisa, Umayya de Diu Meses, Kipchos Aseres HaShvatim Yisrael. That you should know, after that Aseres HaShvatim went into Golas, you want to know what their ultimate downfall was, It was the mayim of the Diu Meses. The Diu Meses was able to somehow chav das neres hashvat. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Rav Elazar ben Aruch ikul hasan. Rav Elazar ben Aruch once came to the Diu Meses, imshich basrayim, and he got caught up in what was going on. In fact, he forgot his learning. When he came back and he left the Diu Meses, he traveled back north. Kam le mikri besafra. They called him up to read from the Sefer Torah. Bayi le mikra hachodesh hazeh lochem roish chadash. And the Kriyas HaTorah was HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Reish Chadashim, and he wanted to read those words. But Amar, because he had such timtum alev from where he had just spent his last little kufa, instead of saying HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, he said the words HaCheresh Hoyo Liban. Boyu Rabban Rachmi Alein, the Rabbanan saw that he had forgotten his learning, that he couldn't even read the words HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, so they said, we better daven for him. V'hadar Talmudei, and because of the fact that they davened for him, he got back his learning. Says the Marsha, you see from this Gemara right here that there was a before and an after in the life of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was a great Tana, but at the same time, Iakir Talmudei. It happened in the Diu Meses. He got fachat. Things happen. Ad kidei kach, that the Rabbanan had a daven for him until it was Hadar Talmudei, until he got his learning back. So says the Marsha, Wulei the Mistafino. I'm going to say maybe Pshat in this Gemara is Avad the Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had taught Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch the Maisa and Merkava. But at the same time, when Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch now went to his Rebbe and said Shneili Perek Echav and Maisa and Merkava, his Rebbe didn't think he was on the level anymore because he was the Akir Talmudei. He had this terrible Nefila. He had this terrible Ruchni Estiga Yerida. He went through a Tkufa. Went through a matziv, where he was in Shoyal Tachtis, where he forgot his learning, where he couldn't even say Achidush Hazel Lochem. He had to say Acher Shoyal Liban. Says Rebbe turns to him and he tells him, Loi Kach Shonisi Lochem, V'loi B'merkava B'yachid Elam Kein, Hayachacham, Mevi Midaitai, On Malois, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch turned to his Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I know you think that I slipped. And you think that I'm still where I was when I was in the UMSS. You don't know? I did tshuva. I came back. I made a full comeback, and I'll prove it to you. Because Tarsheni Loimelofanecha Dover Echad Shalimadatani. Let me tell you some of the Torah, the deepest of the deep and the holiest of the holy that you once taught me. And you're going to see I can recite this verbatim. I can say over Torah, I'm still holding. And Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai heard from Elazar ben Aruch say he's still holding. He said, you know something? I better hedge my bet. And he got off his chamor. Venesate betalisai. And he says, "Nu, let me hear what you have to say." And he started darshaning. And Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai heard what Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was darshaning. And he saw the comeback that he made. And he saw the fact that despite the fact that he was at a point where he couldn't say Achidus Azalachem, he was so metumtim, instead he said Acherus Ayuliban. But now he got to the point where all the Ilonis of the Sada were singing Shira Halwas Hashem in Arad Tanin Bechol Tahimos, when it was Nena Malacha Ish and said Heine Maisa Merkava, Omad Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, he was so moved. Vinoshkai Arosha, he kissed him on his forehead. And he said, Baruch Hashem Alekei Yisrael Shanasan Ben Lavram Avinu, She Yodei Allahovin, Vilachkar, Vilindroish Maisa Merkava. Yesh no vein doirish vein no mekayim. There's a no mekayim vein a doirish. Ato no doirish vein no mekayim. And then he said, Ashrech Avram Avinu, she'el Elazar ben Aruch yotzom bichal otzecha. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch wasn't just another Tana. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach went through a tkufa that I don't think most Tanam went through. And that is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach had an incredible yurida. He went through a very, very difficult ruchnias digger challenge. And he climbed all the way back. Chazal say, "B'makim shebali tshuva oimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamoid." I don't know. But lulei de mistafina. The reason Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was zaycha, that according to Abba Shaul, he's the greatest of all the Tanam. It's not because of all the halachas that we have from Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. The reason he was zaycha is because Rabbi Elazar ben Arach had something, he had a dimension that the other Tanam didn't have. He was a Baal Tshuva. And b'makim shebali tshuva oindem ein tzadikim gemurim yichayvim lamoid. Ad kidei kach, im yu kol chachmei Yisrael. For Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus afi moim, b'kaf maznayim. For Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach would be Machriya Eskula. And the emes is that it could be Lefi Hanal. Maybe that's the reason that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus, according to the other sheet in the Mishnah, was the one that was Machriya Eskula. Because we all know in this Chabur, the story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus. The story in Birkat Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, where Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus was 28 years old, and he was a Lo Yutzlach. He didn't know how to learn. He didn't know how to make a brach, a daven. He didn't even know Krishma. And one day he was crying, Eliyahu Navi reveals himself to him, and he tells him that I think you should go to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yoichem. And he says, Rabbi Yoichem, it's Akech, the yeshiva. And he comes in and he shows up at the Feher and Rabbi Chaim says, "Nu, so what Masechta did you learn last man? Right? I want to Feher you." He said, "Masechta? What's a Masechta?" He says, "Okay, I mean, do you know anything?" And by the end of the conversation, he realizes he knows nothing. And Rabbi Eliezer says, "Rabbi Chaim Zakkai taught him Kriya Shema. He taught him how to daven. He taught him how to make brachas. And then he called Rabbi Yeshua and he said, I want you to mentor him." That was a chavrusa shaf that worked out big time in the long run. But he says, "I want you to go ahead and mentor him." Until in Perik Beis, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkinus is the guest speaker at the big event when his father shows up. Right, Vadvarim Atikim. Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkinus also, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkinus didn't start learning until he was 28 years old. He also had a beginning that was very, very humble. And he crept out of that hole that he started off in, and he eventually rose to the top. Anything but a Kaddish may rank them. And it's Davka, these two Tanah. It's the Tanah Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus, and it's the Tanah Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. They're the ones that are Zoichem Yiyu Kol Chachmei Yisrael B'Kaf Maznayim. And other Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus or Rabbi Elazar ben Arach on the other side, he would be Machriya Eskulan. The side of why Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus and the side of why Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, because they had the power of tshuva. And there's an idea, b'makim shebali tshuvim oimdim ein tzadikim gemurim yichayvim lamoid. You know, the Svar Makdoichim say that there's 50 sha'arim of everything, of kedusha, of tumma, of chachma, of bina. Moshe Rabbeinu was zoicha to achieve the shar nun tes of Kedusha. He couldn't get to the Sha'ar Nun. Rav Tzadik HaKoyin and Pre-Tzadik and Parshas Vaschanan says that if Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get to the Sha'ar Nun, who can get to the Sha'ar Nun? If Moshe Rabbeinu, if he can't get past Sha'ar Memtes, what is Sha'ar Nun? So Rav Tzadik said the Sha'ar Nun is for the Bali Tshuva. That's what the Sha'ar Nun is for. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kaddish Meirechem. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nismala Abayis Kulei Oira. The Sha'ar Nun is meant, it's meant for the Bali Tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu, as a tzaddik, as a Kaddish Mirechem, as a chotzit, he was only able to get up to the Sha'ar Memtes. The Sha'ar Nun, that's meant for the Bali Tshuva. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus had the Koyach of Tshuva. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he had the Koyach of Tshuva. Maybe, that's why they go down as the two greatest Tanam of all time. It's this man of tshuva. Tshuva is not a bidiyeved. Tshuva is azal lechatchila. Tshuva actually allows a person not just to creep out of his hole and to get back to where he was, but if a person does an erlecha tshuva, zdoines nasas chuyos, he can reach incredible madrigas. Madrigas that even Moshe Rabbeinu with his greatskite wasn't able to achieve. And we once said that there are two tanam that you find that Moshe Rabbeinu had kinah from. When Moshe Rabbeinu was all Rakia to be Makabal the Torah, he saw Rabbi Akiva and he said, "Why are you giving the Torah through me? Give it through Rabbi Akiva." And then you have another Chazal, where Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Akiva and he heard much, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu was teaching Torah and he was saying over Halach and Par Adum, he said, "Eliezer b'ni kachu oimer," and he said, "Yirotzin sheyetzim mechalotzech adol dechsev right shema echad Eliezer." But there were two tanon that Moshe Rabbeinu had kinna from. He had kinna for Rabbi Akiva, he had kinna for Rabbi Eliezer. We once said, "Why Rabbi Eliezer and why Rabbi Akiva?" Because Rabbi Eliezer was the koyach of tshuva. And Rabbi Akiva for 40 years was an Amoritz. He said, Mi'ite li tambat chochem va'anashchenu kechamor, lo'i kekelev, elu kechamor. Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to reach the Sha'ar Memtes. He couldn't get to the Sha'ar Nun. And he had kinnah. He had kinnah from the Baal Yitshuva because he knew the Baal Yitshuva is able to reach a place that he's not able to reach. Either way, we have one memra from Rabbi Loz ben Aruch. He taught us a halacha and atilas yadayim. But really, the lesson that Rabbi Loz ben Aruch taught us, the real lesson that Rabbi Loz ben Aruch taught us is that it doesn't matter what matziv a person goes through, what kufa a person goes through, what yirida and nefila a person goes through. These are mamish words you shouldn't be allowed to say berab. It doesn't matter what matziv a person goes through. At the end of the day, if a person does tshuva, not only is he going to creep out, but you see, it was Dafka the Tanam that went through these matzavim. They were able to reach the Madrigas that the other Tanam weren't able to reach. They were able to supersede them on such a level that in you, Kol Chachmi Yisrael Bekaf Maznayim, and you have either Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis or Rabbi Loz ben Aruch, depending on whether you hold Sinai Yadav or Haram Yadav, but you would put the other Tanam on the other side. Not only was he bigger, Hayim Achriyas Kula, bigger than all the other Tanam combined. That's what happens when a person goes through a Nefila and when a person goes through a Yerida. Nefilas and Yeridas is part of life. It's what we do about it. It's how we react to it. That's what separates the boys from the men. We should be zoicha to come to a clear understanding, a high definition realization of how an afila and a matzav and a yerida is an impetus. It's an impetus. It's an opportunity for a person to reach a madrega that he could not have otherwise reached. And that schos will be zoicha to ani l'doidi v'doidi li, and be'ezer Hashem, a ksiva v'ksiva toiva, and a good convention.